This is The Guardian.
Today, our culture critics and what you'll want to watch, read, and listen to in 2022. It's cold. It's grey. But we made it. It's a new year, and I, for one, have resolved to dive back into culture and see and do and hear a lot more this year. But where to start? We've asked bookworm Charlotte Northedge, editor of Guardian Review, Ben Beaumont-Thomas, our music editor, and The Observer's film critic Simran Hans to sift and sort through what's coming up. But what's the one thing they're most looking forward to?
For me, it's a book that's coming out in January, which is To Paradise by Hanya Yanagihara. It's meant to be fantastic. I have only just started it, but our fiction editor said for her it's already the book of 2022. She just thinks that she can't imagine reading one that's going to be better.
Something that I'm very keen to see is the film Drive My Car. Simran might be able to speak to its charms.
It's really good. It's 3 hours of joy.
Oh, excellent. Because I've been listening to the soundtrack, actually, which is by a Japanese artist called Aiko Ishibashi, who is a fantastic sort of jazz balladeer.
Another film that's coming out in January, Guillermo del Toro's Nightmare Alley, which is a kind of splashy, big budget noir movie. Bradley Cooper plays a con man who ends up in a traveling circus.
What is your name?
Stanton Carlisle.
It has Kate Blanchett as a femme fatale who slinks and purrs like a cat. And it's kind of nasty and nihilistic and looks very expensive.
Mr. Carlisle?
Doctor, how about that?
Please lie down.
Can you read minds?
Yes, I can.
From the starry to the obscure, the year's key trends to its most left field. From The Guardian, I'm Nosheen Iqbal. Today in Focus, a new year, a new diary, a critic's guide to culture in 2022. There are a lot of big blockbuster releases to get excited about across books and music and film. Simran, starting with you, what should film fans be looking most forward to?
Things like The Batman, for example. That's still a little way off, with Robert Pattinson starring as Batman. And there are a couple of other trailers and posters have dropped and people are probably getting excited about. The new film from Robert Eggers, who made The Witch. He's made a film called The Northman with Alexander Skarsgård doing a kind of avenging his parents epic thriller.
I will avenge you, father. I want to save you, mother. I won't kill you if you live.
Also due this year is Jordan Peele's new film, the director of Get Out. He's got a film coming called Nope. We don't know loads about it other than the poster, but it's starring Daniel Kaluuya. So those are kind of the big ones for me that I'm looking forward to.
And John, a lot of us have very well-meaning intentions at the beginning of a new year to read, you know, just a hell of a lot of books. What are you most excited about of, and I'd say the particularly big box office authors that are making return this year?
Well, for me, it's the Jennifer Egan book, The Candy House.
I have a new novel coming out in April 2022.
And that is a kind of return to A Visit from the Goon Squad, which was her massive Pulitzer Prize winning book a few years back. It's just that kind of really, really on the nose, like fantastic collection of stories and characters.
The catalyst for the story is a minor character from an earlier novel of mine. His name is Bix Boughton, and in The Candy House, he's become an iconic tech entrepreneur.
Monica Arley, who wrote Brick Lane in 2003 and hasn't written anything for years, has coming back with her, a big new novel in February called Love Marriage. And also Douglas Stewart is coming back after Shuggy Bain, which won the Booker Prize. His new book is called Young Mungo, and it's about a kind of doomed love affair between two young Glaswegian men, one Catholic, one Protestant, a really great one to look out for. And Candice Carty-Williams as well, whose book Queenie was really beloved. And she's coming back with People Person in April.
And Ben, how about in music? What are the big comebacks this year that we can look forward to?
One that I'm really excited for is Arctic Monkeys, who have been recording a new record in a kind of old priory in Suffolk, which is meant to be top secret. And then the owner put a selfie of him with the band on his website. And so that is meant to be coming out in the second half of the year. Their previous record, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, was this real interesting step sideways and I think upwards for them.
Upwards?
Yes, upwards and onwards.
I almost didn't believe you when you'd said that, like that you think that's probably their best work.
I think it is. Some of my colleagues on the music desk would thunderously disagree with me. I just wanted to be one of the strokes. Now look at the mess you made me make. Hitchhiking with a monogram suitcase. An absolutely incredible five-star album that I'm so excited for everyone to hear, and I smugly have been listening to pre-release for a couple of months. It's out in early February. It's by Mitski, who is a Asian American singer-songwriter. Who is kind of beloved of pitchfork reading, kind of flat white drinking hipsters. But I feel like she's going to go fully mainstream. She is just one of the best lyricists in the game. But I think for as long as we're together. They're all about using a kind of breakup and sort of romantic disappointment as a prism to talk about kind of decay in just such a poetic and yet straightforward way.
Her music videos are amazing as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, she really is just an artist who you can feel is absolutely in the grip of this creative groove.
Stuff to look forward to. Charlotte, I know you won't have read, obviously, lots and lots of the books that are coming this year, but you'll be very aware of them. And like looking at those catalogues, what do you see as the emergent themes or trends in literature in 2022?
Well, there are definitely continuing to be COVID novels, and obviously the jury's out on how much we really want to read about what we've just been through. And there's a new one coming in January, which is Gary Steingart's Our Country Friends, which is about a group of friends who kind of hole up to ride out the pandemic in a country estate. And one thing that really stood out to me when I was looking at what's coming up this year is a real trend towards people kind of running away from the 9 to 5, that whole kind of the great resignation thing that we've seen. So you've got books like this guy Ben Short has written Burn. He was a kind of advertising executive in London and he gave it all up to go and become a charcoal burner in Dorset. So there's just this kind of real emphasis on rethinking your life. The pandemic's forced us all to kind of wake up and think about what's really important. But I think kind of counter to that, there's a real trend towards kind of quite cozy mysteries and crime. And obviously we've seen that with the phenomenal success of Richard Osman's books. And he's got another one coming out later this year. There's a real trend for those. And they're obviously really riding high in the charts.
The cozy crime and COVID pandemic-y novels.
Yeah, I know.
Are there any sort of similar parallels in music, Ben?
The big musical trend that I think will probably carry on going is teenage angst. One of the biggest records of last year was Olivia Rodrigo's Good For You and her various other singles like Driver's License, which kind of essayed all these different sides of feeling angsty and teenage, from sort of throwing stuff around your bedroom, anger, to kind of moping under the covers, sadness. I swear I meant to mean the best when it ended. Even tried to bite my tongue when you saw shit. now you've got this absolutely enormous hit from off the back of TikTok called ABCDEFU by Gail, which is incredibly catchy and sort of sardonic track. That kind of sense of being in your mid-teens and not really kind of having a handle on your emotions, but just knowing that you're really annoyed is something we're going to carry on hearing a lot in pop music.
Simran, looking at the year ahead, cast your eye on the film schedules, what seems to have emerged as a theme or a trend, if any?
I think film is a little bit different from some of the art forms because, first of all, it costs so much money and takes so much time to make a film that we don't really see it reflecting real life straight away. There's a bit more of a gap in terms of those themes. What I do think will kind of continue to happen and what I'm already kind of seeing is the domination of the streamers. Netflix, I imagine, will kind of dominate the Oscars. If you think of the films that have come out in the last year that have had loads of buzz, I'm thinking The Power of the Dog, The Lost Daughter, The Mitchells versus The Machines, Tick, Tick, Boom.
Lately, I've been hearing this sound. Like a tick, tick, tick.
These are all big tempo blockbuster releases that have come from Netflix. Amazon Prime and Apple TV are also kind of upping their offerings.
And as a Guardian and Observer's cultural critics and tastemakers, you no doubt have the power to make or break careers. And there is one fresh new star making a splash on the literary scene. Charlotte, can you tell me a bit more about the buzz behind this debut by Dolly Parton?
Yes, well, it's written with James Patterson, who wrote thrillers with Bill Clinton as well. It's about a young country star, actually, who goes to Nashville to pursue her dreams. And she's actually, I think, releasing, you may know more about this, Ben, but I think she's releasing an album to go with it.
I actually don't know what her plan is. I'm going to go and get myself a P45 right now.
No, well, it's the book's called Run, Rose, Run, and it's out in March.
And what about other new voices that you think might break out this year?
I think there's some really exciting debuts coming from the US early in the year. So there's a book called Brown Girls by Daphne Palaisai Andriades, and it's garnered real praise in the US. It's about a group of young women of colour in Queens, New York, and kind of just very lyrical writing about growing up in that environment. And then another one that's been really a huge hit in the US and was an Oprah Winfrey pick is by US poet Honoré Fanon Jeffers.
The novel is called The Love Songs of W.B. Du Bois, and it begins with a song. We are the earth, the land, the tongue that speaks and trips on the names of the dead as it dares to tell these stories of a woman's line.
Her debut novel, and it kind of spans many generations of one family ranging from kind of slavery into the present day. And it's just meant to be a very sweeping, epic read.
And Ben, who are you putting your money on in music to have a breakout year?
Band I'm really, really excited for is Code Orange, who, for my money, are the most exciting, thrilling, kind of inventive band in sort of heavy music. I guess you call them a metal band, but they sort of bring in elements of pop music and hardcore punk and kind of Nine Inch Nails style sort of industrial electronic music. They've released a new single called Out for Blood, which is just the most ostentatiously, brilliantly, almost camp in its level of kind of pop brilliance. It's a kind of glam metal anthem. I think it really sort of demonstrates they're hopefully kind of going for the pop jugular in 2022 and could be the kind of next band like Slipknot to really kind of fill arenas.
Wow.
They've got the chops musically, they've got the image, they all look like they've just kind of stepped off the next in the Matrix movies. Yeah, they really are a very exciting band indeed.
Is there any scene coalescing around this sound? Can we expect this 2022 to be a year of quite growly, heavy glam metal?
It's funny because I think even especially since the pandemic, I've been reaching more and more towards heavier music because there's nothing I want less than to listen to some polite coffee table dinner party music while I'm sat at home staring at my coffee table.
Someone to hold me tight, that would be very nice. Someone to love me right, that would be very nice.
Simran, are you grasping for something sort of different during the pandemic? What will you be championing this year as well?
Well, a film that I've been talking about a lot coming out on the 11th of February is a film called Flea by a first-time filmmaker, a Danish filmmaker called Jonas Poe Rasmussen. And he's actually a radio guy. His background is in radio documentaries. And he's made this film called Flea, an animated documentary about a queer refugee who travels from Afghanistan to Denmark. And it's an extraordinary film.
Poe, a little bit swallowing up. Bare lidt. Så hvis du ligesom lukker øjnene nu,
ja.
Og prøver at trække vejret sådan dybt ind.
It's so inventive and playful and kind of dynamic, while also kind of being really hard-hitting and really emotional at the same time.
Hvad betyder ordet hjem for dig?
Hjem er noget, som er trygt.
Charlotte, no doubt lots of the art forms have had it tough throughout the pandemic, but how has publishing held up?
I mean, the pandemic's had a really interesting effect on publishing because while books actually really held up during the pandemic, you know, people found that they actually had time to read a lot more and book sales increased, especially obviously online. That kind of prioritises certain types of authors. So the authors who do well on Amazon algorithms, the authors who are already well known. And then there are a lot of debut authors being published who are kind of sliding under the radar because the way that those voices would normally reach readers is by local bookshops and people recommending them. And that hasn't been happening as much.
And as you've said, there is this huge appetite for books written by people we see on TV, or music by artists that have been around for decades, or multiple sequels or reboots to films. What does that tell us about culture in 2022? And is there going to be a shift away from that?
Just as there are big tentpole movies and big moments in publishing each year, and this has been especially the case in the last few months in music, with a few artists holding records back to the more opportune time that they can release them during the pandemic. Within about 5 weeks of each other, you had ABBA, Adele, Ed Sheeran, Coldplay and so on. They really did suck up a lot of the attention from the rest of culture, and I think there are other records that got lost in that melee. The other behaviour that is really sort of starting to dominate music is the sort of algorithmic learning of something like Spotify. A lot of the way people listen now is by letting the algorithm take over. I'm not necessarily against that because I think that for a lot of people who aren't huge music nerds like me, that's a very effective way of discovering new music. But I think that an independent artist within that ecosystem is basically crossing their fingers and hoping that the algorithm notices them and champions them.
Simran, it's a bit of a cliche, I guess, to say that the film industry has run out of ideas and relies on reboots and has more money than risks it's willing to take. Has anything changed in that landscape? Or is it just going to be more like, you know, Ghostbusters 9 and, you know, Iron Man 44?
I think it's the sad truth that we're seeing an over-reliance on reboots, sequels, spin-offs, and that is depressing. There's still loads of really interesting, fascinating, weird, small movies that come through. But obviously it's much harder to see them and find out about them.
Ben, obviously a lot of tours have been postponed and moved and a lot is riding on this being a normal year for live music. I know that you're going to be at the back of a pub discovering new bands that no one's ever heard of, but what are the big gigs that everyone needs to book or will get quite excited about?
Yeah, so there are some mega-sized arena tours that are happening in the UK that have been pushed back due to the pandemic. Got this glut of big tours in the spring. So you have Billie Eilish, Stormzy and Dua Lipa all touring the UK within about the space of 6 weeks of each other. My brother's low, the average is not so good. I tell your girl to link me at the coffee shop. Getting freaky in it. She's been taking bloody shots. It is a very important year for the live music industry. There's going to have to be a kind of a survival tactic from a lot of smaller venues, certainly, but also, you know, large venues operate on relatively small margins, and it can be difficult for even the sort of bare moth arenas to survive if people aren't going to gigs, if people are trying to claim refunds for gigs that they don't want to go to anymore.
Simran, award season is now going to dominate the film industry for the next couple of months. We'll have the Oscars, the BAFTAs, the Golden Globes. Which directors or actors do you think deserve to do really well?
I'd love to see Maggie Gyllenhaal get some recognition for The Lost Daughter. I thought that film was extraordinary. She's a first-time filmmaker, but her voice seems so kind of fully formed.
What were your daughters like when they were little? Were they like this willful little creature?
I don't honestly, I can't remember much, actually.
Oh, no, you can't forget anything about your own children.
Is that your experience?
I would love to see Jane Campion doing really well. She is obviously a groundbreaking female filmmaker, and The Power of the Dog is a really interesting piece of work. It's a sort of revisionist Western. Joanna Hogg, whose film The Souvenir is coming out this year as well. I'd love to see some female filmmakers being given their dues, see those ladies walk away with some statues.
Coming up, where will our critics be going out and about in 2022? How do you all feel about festivals this year? Which will you be going to if life allows?
Well, I really hope that the Hay Festival happens this year, because last May it was online. And obviously it's always exciting to see. They get such fantastic names, the kind of people you really want to hear from, but you can't really replicate that experience of seeing the conversation happen in front of you in a tent. So that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
Simran, what's in your diary?
The one that I'm most excited for, and I'm hoping will kind of happen in real life, although I think more realistically it will be a kind of hybrid offering, is a documentary festival called CPH Docs, which happens in Copenhagen every March. I haven't been in a couple of years, but it is just wonderful. And I think documentary is a space where some of the smartest, most interesting, most forward-thinking filmmakers are working. And, you know, it's kind of more creative non-fiction than strict documentary. And that festival really champions those kind of more cutting-edge filmmakers.
And Ben, what about you?
Well, the one that everyone is tremendously excited for, obviously, is the return of Glastonbury, finally, after the previous two iterations of it have been cancelled. We're not sure exactly who's going to be headlining, whether it's going to be the likes of Paul McCartney and Taylor Swift coming back for having previously been announced, and Kendrick Lamar, who's someone else who everyone's expecting a lot from in 2022. You know, we've got Billie Eilish, which is a fantastic Friday night headliner. There's Diana Ross, whose live chops are still absolutely, you know, up there, and will do a classic Tea Time legend slot. It just feels like such an important part of the UK's cultural identity that just hasn't been around for a couple of years.
Now, this being my biggest Glastonbury gig yet, are you all up for a sing-along?
And also, to continue my love of all things incredibly loud and eardrum obliterating, I'm really keen to go to Bloodstock this year, which is really becoming the key kind of heavy music festival in the UK after Download. There's somewhere that you can go and drink a lot of ale, wear a lot of leather, and wave your dreads around.
You'll fit right in.
Apart from the fact that I have an extremely receding hairline, I can't do the last bit. The rest of it, I'm right there. Get the up!
That was Charlotte Northedge, Simran Hands, and Ben Beaumont Thomas. My thanks to all of them. If you want to read more about what the culture calendar looks like in 2022, do check out the culture team's extensive coverage on theguardian.com. And for a handy list of everything we've talked about today, it's all on our podcast page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Sammy Kent. Sound design is by Rudy Zagadlo. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Mythili Rao. We'll be back on Monday.
This is The Guardian.